Everybody?
Good morning.
Please take a seat. Please take a seat. Good morning and welcome to today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. I wanted to start today a little bit differently. Sorry. I wanted to start today's meeting a little bit different because I actually want to start today's meeting with the DGS agenda coming at the top where, you know, usually we have you all batting cleanup. But I wanted to start with DGS. And so with that, we'll get started with the business of the day. Secretary Chaudhry, good morning.
Morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. It's kind of weird feeling going first, but you know, all will embrace it. Thank you. For the record, I'm Atif Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 49 items in our agenda, including one report of an expedited procurement for the Department of Human Services. We are withdrawing three items today. Those three items are 25S, 34IT, and 48CGL. Our agenda does feature 21 capital grants and loans totaling more than $5.6 million. I want to highlight one very brief, that's item 11CGL, which provides $275,000 to the Board of Directors of St. Martin's Ministries. Grant funds will support critical safety upgrades at Martin's House and Barn, which provide shelter, food, and clothing to Mitchell residents in need. Additionally, the funding will be used to complete renovations to family shelter suites to create safer, more comfortable living spaces for families rebuilding their lives. As we continue to keep an eye on minority business contracting, our agenda does feature two contract actions to certified minority businesses totaling more than $28.5 million and four contract actions to certified small businesses totaling more than $29.8 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'd actually like to start by highlighting item five, which is a request to award a $150,000 capital grant to the Board of Education of Talbot County for the construction of the Darren Foxwell Stadium scoreboard at Easton High School. This is a tribute and a recognition to someone who was raised right, who was a true gift, a gift to all of us who knew him, and frankly, a treasure for all of us who didn't know him. He benefited from his life. And he was a brilliant young man who tragically passed away last year in an accident. And to highlight the importance of him, the importance of his remarkable parents and family, something that has never happened in the state of Maryland happened last year. And that was, you all might recall that in our July meeting of the Board of Public Works, for both the treasurer, the comptroller, and myself, that none of us attended that meeting. That had never happened in the history of the state of Maryland. The reason is because we were there to celebrate a light. We were there to celebrate a gift. A gift that was taken too soon, but whose legacy is never going to be forgotten, and whose fingerprints are going to be on everything, not just in the county, in the state, but someone who we're just thankful that God gave us the chance to get to know Darren. He was a recent graduate of Easton High School. He planned to attend Bethany College in West Virginia. He was someone who was just known for his kind spirit, for his energy, and for the fact that regardless of what room he walked into or what baseball field he walked onto, he was going to make the people around him better. And that's exactly what he did throughout his entire life. This morning, we are joined by his remarkable parents, Lynn and Carrie, who I want to tell you, you've done an amazing job. You didn't just do an amazing job with him. You've done an amazing job with your entire family. And you've also done an amazing job of, in the most trying of times, that that you still never lost your sense of love and joy. And that is not just deeply appreciated, but it's something that none of us are ever going to forget, because in you, we see him and the contribution that he and his legacy will continue to make in all of us. On behalf of this board, on behalf of the state, on behalf of all of us, just want to let you know you continue to be in all of our prayers every single day. And the Darren Foxwell Memorial Scoreboard, it can serve as the Easton High School Warrior Stadium Scoreboard to celebrate his memory and all the memory of all of the Eastern of the Easton High School Warriors with a state-of-the-art video display. It's going to be something that for all our student athletes and all the families and all the Marylanders will be able to look at and admire and remember for years to come. In addition to my partners on this board, I want to say thank you to Senator Zucker and Senator Hershey and Senator Maltz, because it was also your leadership that helped to secure this grant. And in fact, Senator, it's great to see you here. And I would love for if you would like, I'd love for you to be able to take the podium as well.
Thank you, Governor. It's a great honor. And Mr. Treasurer, Mr. Chairman, Madam Comptroller, it's an honor to be here this morning. This is an enormous, wonderful extension of support to the community and to the family. We can't say thank you enough from the district, from the county, from everyone that knew Darren, from the folks who went to school, his colleagues at Easton High School. It is just a tremendous, tremendous investment and so greatly appreciated. And certainly from the family, it's going to stand and be a light for the future to just carry on Darren's spirit. I wanted to make sure to say thank you to you. And I also wanted to share with you my last experience with Darren was at graduation, and it was a hug. And if he were here, he would be giving everyone in this room not just a thank you, but a hug. He was just that type of a personality, and you hit the nail on the head when you talked about his impact on every room that he entered. And so this is a solemn day, but it's also a very good day. We're moving forward with this announcement. And it's my honor also to personally extend to you an invitation to join us on the 4th of September at Easton High School. We're going to be unveiling this new scoreboard at the first home game for the Easton Warriors football. They're going up against Caesar Rodney. So I'm not sure exactly how the game's going to play out, but I can tell you one thing. It's going to be the best start to an Easton High School football season anybody will ever remember. Thanks to your support, and thank you to support from so many others in the General Assembly. If I can help you attend that, please feel free. That invitation is for Governor Moore, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. If I can help you in any way to join us, to come together as a community, we'd love to have you there with us. I understand your schedule is very busy. Thank you so much. God bless you. And to the Foxwells, our love will never stop pouring out for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Sure. I mean, I would just echo everything that the governor said. Thank you for being here today. And more importantly, thank you for being great parents and great community members. You know, no family should ever have to endure what you all are going through, or your daughter, your sister, and family. You will never forget Darren. We will never forget Darren. And now we can make sure that Talbot County will never forget Darren. And we continue to celebrate his life and the things that he loved in the best way that we can. So thank you for your advocacy and your love and caring. And thank you for being here today.
Well, just to echo what everyone said, obviously that was an unspeakable tragedy. And I guess the thing that sort of stuck with me, Glenn, is the remarkable strength that you all showed when we were at his homegoing services. I just couldn't imagine the pain that you must be feeling. It goes without saying, for those of you who have children, you just simply can't imagine, you know, them going before you. And but just the strength that you all showed, the love, the care. It's easy to understand the young man that he was and the man that he was going to become. Just remarkable parents and family members. I'm, you know, even though it's been a little over a year now, I guess about 14 months, I still harken back to that, you know, to the day at the services, all the students, teachers, the community that was there. And, you know, you have a lot of support, a lot of love. And, you know, sometimes we forget after, you know, those initial days that, you know, people are always there calling and visiting and so forth. But as you start to get away from that, you know, phone calls, you know, maybe don't come as often, the visits don't come quite as often. But there's still a journey that you have to go through. So, you know, all of those who are friends of the Foxwells and of that community, I hope I'm not out of line by saying, please continue to call, please continue to visit and show your love. I don't believe that this is probably a never ending journey. You know, it's not something that I think you ever get over. You just sort of learn how to deal with or how to move on. And you're able to do that through the love and support of your friends and family. So I would ask that you all keep them in your prayers and, you know, keep supporting them. We love you guys. It's kind of hard to move forward now.
Next, I would I'd like to highlight item 26, which is a request from the Department of Health to award a 21.3 million dollar contract to SkyGen USA. This contract would administer dental benefits for eligible Medicaid participants through the Maryland Healthy Smiles Dental Program, and I'd like to invite MDH Deputy Secretary Clint Hackett to share more about this request.
Good morning, everyone. Mr. Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. For the record, my name is Clint Hackett, and I'm the Deputy Secretary with responsibility for operations at the Maryland Department of Health. As you are aware, the state of Maryland awarded a Dental Administrative Service Organization, or DASO, contract to DentaQuest in February of 2025, choosing this dental vendor over SkyGen. The DASO is responsible for providing critical administrative services for 1,600 dental providers serving 1.5 million Marylanders enrolled in Medicaid. During the design, development, and implementation, or DDI phase, it became apparent that the operational structure of the DentaQuest engagement did not align with the state's requirements in ways not identifiable during the evaluation. On April 1st, 2026, the department and DentaQuest mutually agreed to terminate the contract for convenience. It should be noted that the DentaQuest agreement with the state required full implementation to receive payment. And as such, with the dissolving of that relationship, the department incurred no vendor cost to the state. Following termination of the DentaQuest contract, SkyGen remains the only contractor currently administering DASO functions. The requested sole source contract today with SkyGen will allow the state to maintain continuity of critical Medicaid dental program operations preserve beneficiary access to cover dental services, and support provider reimbursement and program administration, all the while giving the state adequate time to evaluate and implement a long-term procurement strategy and analyze the structure of the dental administrative services within the Maryland Medicaid program. The department's analysis will involve evaluating the current dental benefits administrator operating model to determine which functions should remain contracted and which may potentially transition to MDH through in-house staffing. The results of this analysis will define the scope, requirements, and procurement strategy for the next competitive solicitation. Approving this contract will allow the department the time required to also onboard and complete system implementation of the next selected vendor. Implementation activities for an engagement like this usually includes, but not limited to, system development, data conversion, testing, provider transition, staff training, and certification by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. In closing, we respectfully request your votes to help ensure the protection of Maryland dental providers and the nearly 1.5 million Marylanders receiving services while MDH strives to develop a modern, sustainable, high-performing Medicaid dental program. I am hereby happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thanks. I actually have a couple of questions, but thank you so much for being here today. So I just want to underline that there's two providers in the nation who can do what we are currently contracting for. Is that correct?
There are two providers that provide Medicaid dental administrative services.
Right, and that's DentaQuest and MediGen.
Work that are available within the state of Maryland.
Okay. And the work that they're doing, these are not the dentists. This is like an administrative IT function, correct?
Yeah, they do a number of things. So they bring the system to the table, and I will elaborate on this because this is what we're going to be looking at in terms of reimagining the model, like the components of the system.
Yeah.
So we have the IT,
right,
which is what we use, the providers use to interface, that IT processes claims.
Yep.
But there are also things like prior authorizations for services. There's things like third-party liabilities that the vendors also do. There's things like providing support for the providers in terms of training and programs, training in the system. And there's also support for the constituents that actually receive the services. So it's IT plus a whole administrative package that comes along with it. So we are going to be looking at, we feel that we've had really good preliminary success with the government modernization initiatives, where we're looking to insource more of the roles for cost savings. So we are going to be looking at each of those components of those programs to see, and doing cost benefit analyses to see what makes sense for us to potentially insource. And then what that will result in is likely a reimagined procurement strategy that potentially can result in more competitive procurement as well.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I think that's really important, just given we are sort of between a rock and a hard place right now with this. And so it makes a lot of sense to me. Do you think that, so this terminates, this is a 2-year contract essentially, and then with a 1-year renewal option. So it is your, can we plan that you will have a plan prior to seeking any sort of renewal option, and you will be well underway with can you keep our office updated? Like, I just would hate for us to be at the August 2028 meeting, hoping I'm still here then, to say, oh, we're still evaluating, or we still haven't decided what we're going to do. You plan to undertake this review like pretty soon.
Absolutely. Right. I think, assuming we receive the approval today, one of the top 3 things that we're going to be doing once we have operationalized firmly our engagement with SkyGen will be that analysis. And we will be happy to provide updates to the members of this board on how that analysis is progressing.
That's great. I think it'd be really interesting to hear how it's going. And, you know, maybe this will offer us some sort of model for insourcing IT services and IT systems when there really is no way to have a competitive procurement and the choices are not optimal, we'll say.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So you had me as soon as you said that we had a new contract. If I recall this correctly, having issues with this. And so we finally got that resolved. Just a quick thing, I want to make sure I'm reading it right. It actually, the contract becomes effective as soon as you vote, or is it a specific date? Because what I'm looking at, we said upon BPW, like it gave a date and then it said upon BPW approval. So does that mean it becomes effective as soon as we vote?
We're targeting September 1st because we have an extension that goes with SkyGen. And through when I came the last time, we had an extension that goes through August 31st. So this would become effective September 1st.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready to vote. Yeah.
Thank you. Really appreciate your attention to this.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thanks. I just have a couple of DGS questions, but not on this one. So you do it.
Okay, great. I'm going to highlight 42 and then.
Yep.
I also wanted to get a chance to highlight item 42, which requests from DGS, and it would approve a modified $470 million contract with REV Renewables for the purchase of solar energy for the state. In 2024, I issued an executive order, and that was focusing on directing state agencies to aggressively strengthen the grid and to utilize all available means in order to lower energy costs for the people of this state. This agenda item will help to advance that work. This agenda item will make sure that we are utilizing all the various assets that are necessary and required to provide relief, while also making sure that we can have a grid that is fortified and a grid that is sustainable. Because in order for us to strengthen the grid while also lowering costs, we have to focus on renewable energy. And that is not because it's an ideology. It's because renewable energy is the cleanest and it's also the cheapest and the fastest way for us to be able to sustain energy here inside of the state of Maryland. And through this 20-year power purchase agreement, REV Renewables will provide approximately 250,000 megawatt hours of renewable electricity at a fixed rate. This will serve as nearly 15% of the state's energy portfolio beginning in 2028. And because of this agreement, it also includes a fixed rate that is lower than the current retail cost of energy. And the state will save an estimated $300 million over that 20-year agreement. So the ability to be able to both address cost and sustainability is something that's accomplished with this initiative. And so what is indisputable in all this is that clean energy projects that are ready to go right now are the ones that are also the ones the most directly under attack by this federal administration, who is using energy policy like it is an ideology, who is not allowing data nor science to be able to lead the conversation, but just simply internet conspiracy theories and talking points. But in Maryland, we're going to continue to lead. In Maryland, we will continue following data. In Maryland, we're still going to make sure that we can provide some relief, some energy relief to the people of the state. And the facility for this project is being built in Western Maryland on the site of a reclaimed coal mine, transforming a former industrial site into a source of clean energy. The project location, known as the Lower Georges Creek Coalfield, has been used for coal mining operations periodically since the 19th century. But mining operations began to slow and ultimately ended in the early 2000s, mainly simply because of the costs. And for many of these sites, the cost of mining became greater than what the coal was actually worth. And so it was a business model problem that they're running into. They closed not because of ideology. They closed because coal mining was just becoming bad business. And while the policy decisions from our federal administration are clearly driven by that ideology, our decisions will continue to be driven by data. Renewable energy is fast, it is clean, it is reliable, it is cheaper for our people, and we are thrilled about what this agreement is going to mean for our folks out in Western Maryland and for what Maryland's investments are going to mean in terms of long-term renewable energy opportunities. And so, Secretary Chaudhry, I just want to say thank you to you, to your team, for reaching this agreement and what it's going to mean for the people of not just Western Maryland, but what it's going to mean for the people of this state.
Now, thank you, Governor. I really appreciate that. I wanted to thank my team. I want to give a quick shout out to just a few folks here. Courtney Lee, Tom LaGuire, Hannah DeVilius, and David St. Jean that worked diligently behind the scenes to make this deal happen. It shows truly that clean, sustainable energy does not have to cost more than other energy sources. And this locks us in a cost savings. And the huge benefit is it is locked in pricing that will not increase, while our current energy rates elsewhere will absolutely be increasing over time. So we're very excited about this. That $300 million savings that we're estimating to be a little conservative, maybe even more than that over the next 20 years. So we're very excited about three happy people.
Outstanding job. Thank you. Madam Comptroller.
Just thank you so much for bringing this to us, for talking with my team to explain the waivers that you're requesting and your delegated authority for the underlying contract. Looking forward to seeing it come to fruition. And are there other, I noticed you had one solicitation toward multiple statewide contracts for renewable energy. Are there other contracts that you all are pursuing right now in other areas, or this?
We will be absolutely additional as well. Yep.
Great. Well, it'd be great to, even though only if you seek a waiver, will they come to us? It would be great to hear what some of the other contracts are that you're looking at.
Absolutely. We'll make sure
the model.
You and the treasurer's officer.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. May I have a motion to approve the
Can I ask a question on another item?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Great. Thanks. Well, you're up there.
All right. Let me answer any questions.
Well, I'm here about a few different items. So all together, there's 21, which is the job order contracting services. Sure. Just talked about 26. And then there's A1EX, which is the expedited procurement report for security services at DHS. So these all have a little bit to do with the idea of like the sort of the need or the thought to bring more in-house and to try to ensure that we have state employees who can do this work. Sometimes, obviously, that's not realistic. Agencies might not have the staff. The project could be too complex, or it could be too minute, right? And we don't need to have state employees working on something that's only going to last for 6 months. Or sometimes asking state employees to take something on might just mean extra work without enough staff. And so there is a balance, obviously, and we need to make sure we struck it. But on some of these items, I was wondering, first on item 21, the DGS job order contracting services, can you just clarify what kind of work this contract covers? And do you have any recent examples since this is a renewal contract?
No, thank you, Madam Comptroller. And I'll quickly go over the process. So typically, all agencies, including DGS, when work needs to be done in any type of building or facility, we do an analysis to determine, can that work be done by in-house staff, existing state employees? If the answer is no, then we would utilize methodologies such as job order contracting to bring in contractors to do the work. And that's, so this doesn't replace state employees, this just helps supplement the work. And these are typically going to be more complex jobs, right? These are going to be high voltage electrical work. These are going to be roofing projects. They're going to be windows. They're going to be window replacements, paving parking lots, changing out complex boilers and, chillers, HVAC or air handlers. So these are, there are a lot more that are required and involved in that. A lot of the large scale HVAC projects do require commissioning and ensuring we're meeting local permitting and other requirements and make sure they're being inspected. So they're more complex things than are normally required. And usually these are going to be for direct specific projects at local sites. I think some of those are some of the examples I gave you there. Some of these can, they're wide ranging depending on the complexity and size and scale of the project.
Have you ever, do you regularly, DGS, look back or at some type of predetermined interval, look back to see what agencies are using the JOC contract for and whether it was an appropriate usage of the contract or not?
I think we're closely monitoring it with agencies and partnering with them. DGS having the design and construction control authority anything above a delegation comes to us anyway. So we have to coordinate with them very closely for all of their major projects. Besides a routine maintenance project, anything that gets to be a little more complicated, usually we're involved in that, those discussions.
Okay, understood. And sort of, so just because this contract exists doesn't mean work automatically goes to a vendor. You still, it's a tool for DGS when the work is beyond what our current staff level of state employees can do, right? It's not like everything goes.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And it's actually state employees are first look to first do the work in-house first. If they can't do it or it's too complex or too involved, that's when we utilize these types of contracting methodologies.
Okay, that's great. And then on item 26, just really appreciated the discussion about what piece of that could come in-house so that we don't find ourselves in this situation again. Is that something that DGS would work with MDH to determine whether handling some of that work or all of that work in-house so that we'd have more ownership of it as possible within the next couple of years?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then on A1EX, the DHS security services, this is an expedited procurement report for security services at DHS in Baltimore. Can you confirm that this is a one-year contract?
Yeah, 1 year, I think, with a one-year renewal option.
Okay. And when do you plan to begin the next procurement for this work?
So we have an existing statewide contract for unarmed security services. This is unarmed and armed, and this also gives, I think DHS utilizes this contracting vehicle to bring in more advanced security services that are have additional training, like de-escalation and others, to be able to help support their clients and their visitors that come in. So, but we'll be coordinating with DHS offline to work through the next steps associated with this, given this is a one-year with a one-year.
Okay. And I would be curious to see what it would cost for state police to provide security in this manner instead of, you know, it'd be helpful to see the cost benefits and how we got to outsourcing, how you determine when it would make sense to increase the number of state police or allocate resources to state police to take on security services or Capitol Police, I guess, but usually state police versus when you outsource security work.
Absolutely. We've done some analysis before. We're happy to update that. And I know we've done some of this analysis already as part of the discussions, but happy to share that with you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
And is there a second?
Okay.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mr. Secretary. But before we proceed to the secretary's agenda, I actually sit tight for 1 second, Mr. Secretary, because we know that we are having a very important departure that's going to be taking place from your office. And I know how much Daniel has meant to you and the team. And I just want to take a moment just to say how much it's meant to all of us, where the department's chief of staff, Daniel Chase, is going to be transitioning from his role next week, where he began his tenure chief of staff in 2024. And since then, he has not just been a steady presence here inside of the Board of Public Works, but his impact has gone on the department and on the state long and far beyond BPW. Because if you look at the historic achievements that have taken place under your leadership, Mr. Secretary, and what we've seen with the department, his fingerprints have really been all over these things. And whether it's the comprehensive plan to consolidate and relocate Maryland's state government buildings and delivering more than $325 million in total expected savings, also helping to implement the reform to Maryland's procurement process, increasing transparency while making it easier for disadvantaged vendors to actually compete for state contracts, Daniel's leadership has been seen throughout. And the communities that he's been able to be a part of have really been the beneficiaries of it. And importantly, he's going to be remembered for the energy and the humor and just being a real culture carrier, where I know that he's going to carry that as he goes back to goes to Colorado. So
why are they laughing in the back?
I know.
Congratulations.
Yes, yeah. It's a very big deal. It's a very big deal. But Ms. Secretary, I turn it over to you as well.
Thank you, Governor. And Daniel Chase has been a great partner, a steadfast partner, not just here at DGS, but with me and with me all the time, living and breathing everything with me across all three branches of state government. He really did. We touch DGS, we touch everyone. He's been involved in that, been engaged with every agency, every branch of government. And I just really appreciate his dedication and his commitment to but not just DGS, but the entire state government and serving the citizens of Maryland. The governor's been actively involved in numerous groundbreaking initiatives here at DGS. You've mentioned some of those there. But when he was in chief of staff, I'll tell you, he was never afraid to get his hands dirty. Whether it's, you know, no job was too small, whether it's clearing snow with me or, you know, moving furniture and coordinating. And for the record, Governor, I want to say I never specifically asked him to clear snow with me. I let him, he happened to be with me, and I said, I'm going to clear snow and be shoveling and really snow blowing. You are feel free to sit in a warm vehicle or sit and go in the building, but chose to help me. But he was out there with me nonstop in the blistering cold doing it. And that's just who he is. Behind the scenes guy. He's very, very much a behind the scenes guy. And I think that's where we're getting some giggles. Governor, Ms. Treasurer here, Madam Comptroller behind the scenes here, because he does not like attention whatsoever. He does not like being in the spotlight. And I will tell you, there are people here enjoying him squirm right now because he's being highlighted. And I will tell you, the first time Governor, we were at a meeting, you and I started chatting and I introduced him. And afterwards, he's like, I did not want to meet the governor today. That's not a behind the scenes guy. That's not what I do. And I said, well, people want to meet the governor. You know? And I will tell you that we had an all staff meeting last week and we highly recognized him. I literally had the Maryland chief of police for Capitol Police, the chief of police, standing next to him and keeping him in the room, in the front of that room, there so we could recognize him and support him. So that's what he is. He's a behind-the-scenes guy. He doesn't want the name or recognition. He just wants to do the work. And we really appreciate him for doing the work. I want to thank him for his commitment, for his dedication, understanding the commitment to nature of being 24-7 that DGS is, and being available day and night for us. And I really want to thank him for responding when issues arise. Because he was doing it selflessly every single day. And I want to just wish him well. He's going off to be a big time lobbyist in his hometown of Denver. And we want to congratulate him on that. But I just want to thank him. Thank you for everything he's done for us.
Thank you
for the state.
And particularly because he does not like being recognized and does not like the spotlight on him. Daniel, I ask that you come up here so we can recognize you.
Just wanted to do a job. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's again, Mr. Clerk. We will proceed with the Secretary's agenda. Secretary Gonsalves, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, and good morning to you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 23 items in one report of emergency procurement contract award on the Secretary's agenda this morning. However, at the request of Morgan State University, I'm withdrawing item 23, leaving 22 items and the one report of the emergency procurement on your agenda this morning. I am happy to assist answering any questions.
Great, thank you. Is there any discussion on the Secretary's agenda?
Nope.
May I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve the Secretary's agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding, thank you. We will proceed with the DNR agenda. Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The department has 12 items for your consideration today, and I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
Any discussion on the DNR agenda?
No.
May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. We'll proceed with the University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning.
Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey representing the University System of Maryland. There are four items for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any discussion?
No.
May I have a motion to approve the USM agenda?
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Hickey. And we will conclude with the MDOT agenda. Mr. Radomski, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 8 agenda items for your consideration, and we have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Any discussion agenda on MDOT?
No. Valerie, or Ms. Radomski, could I, 2AE, we always have these indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity work order-based contracts for MTA that are tens and tens of millions of dollars without any sort of update on what has been achieved in past contracts. So this is a new round of these contracts, and this is the first one. I take it, contract B for Kimberly Horn and Associates. I would like to touch base and just understand sort of what we're getting for our money.
Hmm.
Great, thanks. But otherwise, no.
Okay, motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there any other discussion before we adjourn?
Yes. May I, unless Madam Controller.
Nope, go for it.
I meant to say this at the last meeting, and this, it's not really a BPW item, but in the business of the last meeting, I simply forgot. Governor, I wanted to thank you and your administration for what you all did for those students with the Howard University situation. And it's, to me, I don't know if you all are familiar with it or not. If you're not, Google it. But if you are, you know what I'm talking about. As a first generation college student myself, I know how difficult that process can be, how cumbersome it can be, and you just don't know what you don't know. And, you know, I think about the families and friends and, everybody's all excited, but they don't know everything that needs to be done. And so with all due respect, to just callously unenroll students and potentially shatter dreams and goals and leave them scrambling over some confusion that, in my opinion, you caused. Well, you certainly played a role, not you personally, but meaning the institution that you caused. And not to do everything you can to resolve it, to me is unconscionable. So I wanted to say, and I wanted to acknowledge publicly, the administration stepping in to sort of fill that role. And for those students and future students, if you're looking for HBCU, Maryland has 4 of them, Roy, Morgan, Cop, and UMES, you know, we'll take care of you. And we'll work through any misunderstandings. But I wanted to acknowledge that act because, again, somebody coming from that space of being a first-time college student, things get missed or you don't understand, and be put in that position is just tough. And so, again, thank you for stepping in, and for those who needed it, being able to clear that up.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Treasurer. And to your point, yeah, those students did nothing. And so we're glad that our state collectively could be in a position to be able to support them and make sure that they're going to be okay and their family's going to be okay. And it'll be good to have in such brilliance. Listen, you get accepted at Howard University, you're on your way. Yep. And so now if we can make Maryland part of their journey, the better we are for it.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely agree. I just wanted to give some remarks about where we are as an agency. So 30 years ago, I was a student at Walt Whitman High School, and Louis Goldstein was our comptroller. I am pretty sure I did not know that Maryland had a comptroller when I was in high school. They were very busy in the office of the comptroller, moving all of our paper tax records into a new mainframe system whose acronym is SMART. And there they have lived on that mainframe system in COBOL for the past 30 years. And starting today, we began moving 4 billion records from that mainframe through fiber into our new cloud-based modern tax system. So I just want to give a shout out to our team, Team Comptroller. They've worked for years towards this moment. A shout out to Marylanders for bearing with us for the next 2 weeks. Our systems will be down. It just simply takes that long to get data from one place to another. And we are really excited about the new generation of options and transparent government and revenue administration that we can provide to the residents and businesses of Maryland. Starting on September 1st, when we launch Maryland Tax Connect for individual taxpayers. So thank you to everybody who's helped us along the way, for budgeting us for this transition, for supporting our work. And I know Louis is looking down and is very proud to see us continue his legacy of modernization and service for Marylanders. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. Next meeting will be September 2nd, and we will be meeting in the Treasury Building. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.